Artist insurance is a vital part of safe working conditions for people in the arts. And if you're a visual artist, you've probably heard a lot of discussion around your insurance lately. This important, necessary and accessible coverage was recently threatened. Local Community Insurance Services and QBE Insurance made changes to their policies, which meant artists could no longer use certain tools or equipment that produce an open flame, sell work at market stalls, take out professional indemnity coverage because it was removed from the policy offering, and other things. The National Association for the Visual Arts, NAVA, fought these changes, and in less than a week it was announced the insurance companies would reverse the changes. Penelope Benton is the Executive Director of NAVA. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Really well. This is, yay, small victory charge, fist pump moment.
Right, we don't get many of those.
No.
Not this quickly. It's been quite a journey, a big ride. It's actually felt like a roller coaster, a real life one.
Why is artist insurance so essential?
All visual artists and craft practitioners are required to have their own insurance in order to participate in almost everything they do, to have an exhibition, to create work in public space, to occupy a studio, present workshops, and present or sell their work at markets. There almost isn't anything that an artist does that they're not required to have a certificate of currency to say that they have professional insurance. And NAVA's package, which we've had for more than 10 years, has been designed specifically for the types of things, generally the types of things that most artists and arts workers are required to have insurance for. So it has 6 different types of insurance, and that includes public liability, products liability, professional indemnity, property and custody and control, tenants liability, so when they're in a studio, as well as personal accident insurance. Yeah, it's quite a comprehensive package, but it's been really stripped back to just the types of specific work that artists and arts workers do. And for that reason, it's very heavily discounted because it is so specific.
The insurance policies were going to change, but after nationwide calls for action, there were announcements just 2 days later that the insurance providers would reverse the decision. Has that been finalised, or is it set in stone?
Some of it is set in stone, which is super great. We have just confirmed, triple confirmed in writing to LCIS and QBE and expecting a response today, so we can share that with the membership about what, because they have reversed most of the changes, not all of them, but the major ones, which include, as you mentioned earlier, the use of kilns, particularly for ceramic practitioners, any artists using tools or equipment that produce an open flame, any artist selling work at market stalls and art fairs, and the professional indemnity coverage that had been removed has been put back in. So all of these things are the really major changes. Particularly the use of kilns and the use of tools and equipment that produce an open flame, what they've done is just added an additional fee to the premium for those. So we've just been clarifying the detail of what that is. It is, you know, disappointing that we've had to put up the rate, but it isn't a lot of money. It could have been worse. So we're still recognising this as a win.
Penelope Benton is the Executive Director of NAVA, and I have a million questions, including, are there many fires from kilns across Australia each year? Is this something that we need to protect ourselves from?
I don't know of any, and we have been, this is a policy that there are several organisations across Australia that have the same policy, so we have it as a national organisation, but there's also an organisation in WA called ArtSource. In Queensland, there's Flying Arts. In South Australia, there's Guildhouse. In ACT, there's Craft ACT. And in Victoria, is an organisation called Craft. And we have, you know, as part of our work on when we were hearing about the changes, we've been talking to all of the other organisations, and we have pulled together our claims history to try and unpack where is this coming from. There isn't a single recorded case from any of the organisations of fire started from a kiln, that we have documented at all.
Wow.
In talking to many practitioners working in glass as well as ceramics, there isn't any that anyone is aware of. That's not to say that it can't happen, but it's unlikely. I guess the changes that we understand are really, you know, a fallout from the bushfires that are increasing from, you know, the severity of climate change. But in reality, there is very little work that artists do that is being impacted by climate change in a way that should be affecting the insurance package. They're completely separate issues.
Fascinating, because I wondered what the genesis of this was. And you've won this round, ding, ding. Do you expect more of the same? Is this about the bottom line from insurance providers?
Look, I think probably globally we know, I think everybody knows, that their insurance is a, you know, rapidly shifting landscape. There's a lot of changes to the environment, to climate, but as well as the pandemic, lots of things have meant that insurance, they're just not making the profits that they used to. There are a lot more claims than there ever were. I don't think we have seen the end of this. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that we need to keep ahead of, keep communicating with the insurers about how the work and practices of artists and arts workers really sit outside of the threats that are happening more globally, but also nationally, mostly to buildings that are not actually even covered by this policy anyway. So they shouldn't really be impacted in the same way that, you know, buildings and contents insurance would be affected.
Penelope, is this something that you had to respond to? Is there an ongoing conversation between those kinds of bureaucracies and your organisation?
There is. I guess there's a few things that we're thinking about and talking about, I guess, contextualising a lot of this. You know, what have been the impacts that have changed the insurance? But what has been really helpful, I suppose, through all of this is that we reached out to the members to say this is changing. Like, we really tried to have it reversed before we went to the membership, but mm-hmm. we were having no success, so we need to communicate what's happening here, which is what we've done. And we also asked for people to send impact statements so that we could demonstrate to the insurer with real human examples of what it would mean to have all of these things stripped out of the insurance package and generally what the risks are. And, you know, human stories are always more impactful and more relatable than made-up examples.
Stats and data.
Right.
Can you give us an example?
Well, I mean, having the impact statements that would really, you know, the words of artists saying that they would not be able to continue their practice at all. You know, lots of artists were at risk of just not being able to deliver their work at exhibitions or continue occupying their studio or participate in, you know, there are weekly markets happening all around the country. Mm. So it was having a huge impact. The stripping out of professional indemnity insurance is also, as well as impacting artists, it's also impacting arts workers. So conservators rely on that type of insurance, as do registrars and anybody working in a professional capacity, which is what this insurance, the whole intention of it is. So we were able to demonstrate that the changes that QBE were making would actually mean that this whole package was, I suppose, over. You know, there's just under 3,000 members through NAVA that have this insurance package, and collectively across all the other organisations that are listed, another 3,000. So there's about 6,000 artists who currently have the policy that were at risk of not being able to continue their practice.
And not because it was just bureaucratic, but because the costs were prohibitive.
The insurance package, without all the things that they were stripped out, actually would be useless. It wasn't. It was taking out, I guess, the major things that people need, particularly the professional indemnity. Almost any artist working, particularly with local council, which, you know, is almost 75% of the visual arts sector, every artist who is engaged by a local council is required to demonstrate that they have public liability insurance as well as professional indemnity. So cutting that part out of the policy just meant that they wouldn't be able to be engaged through all of the different types of programs that local government run, and that includes, you know, galleries, studios, markets, studio trails where people walk around and look at work, mm-hmm. also public art, including, you know, really small pieces like murals, as well as the larger pieces that occupy on a more permanent basis, kind of sculptures and things.
Yay for the people's champ.
Yeah.
Penelope Benton is the Executive Director of the National Association for the Visual Arts. We like to call it NAVA, and we say three cheers for them. Keep fighting the good fight, Penelope.
Thank you. You too.